Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Live talk radio that you can control and or participate in. The telephone number here in the studio is 603-283-6160. Grab a crayon and write it down on the fridge or what have you. 603-283-6160. You can tattoo it on your firstborn's forehead if you like.
My kids might be listening, and they might take the crayon and write it on the fridge.
Sweet. And then more people will see it, and more people will call. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me,
Jay Noon
and Joa.
We've got a bunch of stuff to talk about. Joa, you brought in this video for... the title says, Mississippi Civil Rights Museum Trespassed Me for... Free speech. You want to tell us a little bit on it?
Yeah, there's this guy, Honor Your Oath on YouTube, and he just...
On Your Oath?
Honor Your Oath.
Oh, Honor Your Oath,
yes.
Okay.
And all he ever does is the same thing over and over again. He just holds a cardboard sign that says, God bless homeless vets.
Okay.
He doesn't ask for money. He never, you know, even though panhandling is not illegal, the Supreme Court ruled, he's not even doing that either. But, yeah, it's crazy. They tell him to leave under threat of arrest. At a civil rights museum.
And this is in Mississippi, you were saying, right?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, in Jackson, Mississippi.
All right, so we're just going to bring up, you brought in this video, we're going to start it around the 3:30 mark. Let's have a listen.
Yeah, it's whatever, but you can sit right there, man. We ain't gonna stop. God bless the homeless vet.
Yeah, ask him if I can stand up here, because it's public property. I'm not trying to be difficult, but...
I know.
I have just as much right to be up here as I do on the sidewalk,
right.
I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They complaining, that's fine. That's what I say. And yeah. I understand everything y'all did. Like I said, my dad, it was like that.
Yeah.
Hey, just me.
I just
stand and get your word out.
Yes, sir.
Stand on the sidewalk.
All right. So what we're seeing in the video, for you know, of course, you can't see over the radio, seems to be a cameraman who's been confronted by some police and/or security folk.
Yeah, there was security of the museum there.
Okay.
Yep. And but they, you know, they're threatening to call the police to get him arrested because now he's trespassing. But he's not trespassing because that museum isn't private. It is owned by the state of Mississippi, and that's all public land.
Right.
Yeah, he has the right to go right up to the doors if he wants to. And this is disgusting, and like I feel like, you know, free speech is dead when you can't even like hold a sign supporting civil rights.
So all this guy was doing, the cameraman, was holding a sign?
That's it, just a cardboard, handwritten sign. God bless homeless vets.
And they tried to, well, they did trespass him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So for those of the listeners who don't know what, you know, being trespassed is, can you describe that?
So they tell you to leave the property, which is public property, so it's ironic, and they, you know, they're telling them to go to the sidewalk. So, yeah, so you've been trespassed. Now, if you're criminally trespassed, that's because you re-enter the property after being trespassed, or you jumped the fence and said no trespassing, right? Or that sort of thing. So... Yeah.
What if
he didn't currently trespass.
What if instead of holding a sign that said God bless the homeless vet or something, is that what it said?
That's what it said. God bless the homeless.
What if he was wearing a T-shirt that said that?
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, I would. I don't know. Good question.
It seems to me like it doesn't matter. You know what? You know, version of media you have on, you should be treated the same regardless.
I mean, sometimes you see people walking around and they're wearing the sign like a you know big sombrero solid T-shirt thing. You know. And, I mean,
sandwich board style.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, this guy was wearing someone challenged. You know, he had F the draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was holding a sign on campus, and they arrested him, and he fought it, and he won. And then somebody else, used that case law when he got arrested, held contempt, because some this guy wore a shirt, F the draft, into court. And so the guy used case law and he won. So it's like it proves that we have the right to say these things and do these things. And it's ironic that that's, you know, an ultimate civil right to be able to say whatever you want.
The problem is when you have individuals that are, you know, have the ability to exercise qualified immunity.
Right.
And they've been doing this for decades and decades now. It's created this culture of people that, you know, are just generally used to getting away with things, arresting people. Like here in New Hampshire, several times now over the years, people have been charged with wiretapping for, you know, videotaping the cops.
Right.
And in multiple situations, you know, previous to, you know, a bunch of these arrests, you know, civil lawsuits were filed for, you know, arresting these people for filming. And, like, the Ware Police Department, for example, has paid out at least three times that I'm aware of in, like, the last 7 or 8 years settlements. And they still, you know, continue to arrest people for, you know, and charge them with wiretapping for videotaping the police after, you know, the Glick decision, Simon Glick, you know, the federal court in Boston basically said that government employees have no expectation of privacy. But they just keep doing it and doing it because there's no actual punishment for these government employees. Nobody stays after school. And, you know, this is one of the things I want to get into. I was telling you guys about a DCYF.
Right, yeah.
Notice and demand, basically an affidavit that's going to be sent to state representatives and Lori Reaver, the commissioner of Health and Human Services, to correct some of these problems. Because and this particular affidavit process I'm going to I'd like to talk about tonight is going to sort of talk about how it can be used to utilize the state representatives in New Hampshire to exercise their constitutional duty and authority to exercise their checks and balances against other branches of government who are violating the people's rights, and they're doing it repetitively. The thing with
hold that thought for just a second. I know you have the affidavit here, and I want to get into it, but I want to point out to everybody that this is yet another case of where government doesn't care because of incentive, right? So in the case of Ware, whom you just spoke about, they have, well, unlimited budget. Right. They don't care. Right. Absolutely. They don't care how many judgments against them and for how much money. They keep getting paid regardless of what happens.
Yeah. They have an insurance company that pays out settlements, actually.
Right. So they have unlimited resources. They have unlimited time. Right. They have unlimited money. Right.
And
so
they put people in emotional hard places that take advantage of them.
Right. So
like these are all angles that they're doing to people.
So I just want to point out that this is the level of difficulty that the regular Joe has when going up against any organization, any government organization, whether it's the city, the county, the state, the federal level. It is the same problem over and over. It's that the state always has way more resources, time, and money than you do.
Oh, yeah, and they got an army of trained lawyers that are career liars, that are professional liars, and these lawyers enjoy qualified immunity. Just with my wife's case alone, the social workers involved, the lawyers involved, it's like almost $1 million a year just in salary between all these people.
Makes sense.
And then we have, you know, the only other bureaucrat involved, the one bureaucrat that we can verify that is married with children is our local chief of police, who is like, hey, leave these people alone. Yeah. There's nothing going on here. Well, you know, what don't you understand?
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, and basically what it comes down to with a lot of these career state employees, especially in the social workers and the people in DCYF is, you know, is the culture.
Yeah.
You know, they're basically city urban liberal types that go to these colleges and, you know, that are sponsored by, you know, the Clintons and the rest of Jeffrey Epstein's friends. If you start walking around any of these Ivy League, you know, colleges,
right,
that, you know,
yeah,
teach,
Harvard,
they teach all this stuff.
The police and the state officials and DCYF, you know, they all hang out with each other outside.
Oh,
they
don't
hang out
too.
With anybody else. They all hang out with each other.
Yeah, the attorneys, too. And I mean the attorneys that also represent you.
Right.
Like, when you go and hire an attorney,
they are already hanging out
with all of the judges and all of the state attorneys and the prosecutors.
They're sharing
and all
a beer
stuff.
After whatever
they,
happens
they all
in court.
Know each other. It's a big club.
Yeah.
So, did you have anything more to add about the Mississippi Civil Rights?
No, that was good, but, okay. You know, I would highly recommend you guys look up Honor Your Oath and see how he does it, because he's very respectable. He does
that. This guy's YouTube channel.
Yeah, John Gray, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
He just really nails everyone, like, about it, because, like, you know, they're asking for IDs, like, what crime have I committed, and all that, and he's just so good about it, and it's such a simple thing. I think anyone should go and try doing this. Know your rights, know how to talk to police, but you'll learn a lot from this guy.
Yeah, all right. So, Jay, I know you're excited to talk about this DCYF bit. Is that right? DCYF?
Yeah, so DCYF stands for Division of Children, Youth, and Families.
Right.
Divide them.
Yep, and
definitely, that's certainly what they do.
And, you know, commonly known as Child Protection Services in most places, or
right.
CPS, but it's all basically the same entity. It gets a bunch of federal government money. You know, they're as far as I'm concerned, they're operating totally illegally. There is no constitutional authority for these guys. You know,
they're part of family court, as I understand it, right?
Yeah, so family court is actually, like, not even a court, from what I understand. You know, it's sort of this private, municipal, you know, for-profit corporation that does all kinds of crazy stuff. One of the things they do.
I have some experience at this, so that's why, like, whenever this type of a thing comes up, I was tossed into foster care. Me and my birth sister were thrown into the foster system through CPS or whatever it was called in Wisconsin. And the first thing they did was put us in different homes.
Oh, yeah,
and you would think, like, hey, if you're all about, you know, if you're family services or whatever,
right,
whatever they call
together.
It, you would think that their first thing they would do is try and at least keep siblings together, right, to have some sense of family. But no, the first thing they did was separate you. And so I found that interesting the older I got and the more I looked into this type of thing. I also saw a documentary called
Save the Babies?
No, Divorce Corp.
Okay,
Now, this documentary, like, sounds like it's all about what happens to people who are divorcing, and to an extent it is,
sure.
But it really highlights exactly what you were saying, Jay, about how this is family court in and of itself. Like, if you think government, just from listening to Free Talk Live or any other freedom-oriented media, if you're already of the opinion that government is a horrible entity that just screws people over, you know, left and right and, you know, doesn't really care, you're right, but family court is even worse.
Yeah.
Because they don't even have rules to follow. It's all made up on the fly.
You know, I feel like these are... DCYF is one of those agencies I feel like they should be recording themselves at all times. And then if you need to review it, there's, like, any question about it, they can review how these people acted and how they came to the resolves of taking kids away, right? I would love to see all those motions recorded. And then if you think there's something wrong and you want to take it further, review that. I want to see if they're conspiring to take kids. You know they are. You know they're just doing it to take kids and hand them off to child abusers like they've been doing for years. It's gross. It's really gross.
So everything in family court is sealed, and this is what
right,
makes it
exactly.
very, very difficult to have any transparency with family court. And also, family court, there's no provision in the Constitution for its creation of family court.
Right.
And the other thing with family court is it's 100% voluntary, and people don't understand that. And one of the jurisdictional traps that people step into when they get involved with family court is they take some kind of government benefit, whether they're on welfare, food stamps, fuel assistance, you know, they send their kids to public school, they, you know, use a court-appointed attorney.
Lenience on maybe penalties or whatever getting involved.
Well, the thing is taking any of these benefits from the state, which I've been really good about not doing pretty much ever in my life because...
Yeah.
You know, I've been aware of these jurisdictional traps ever since I've been a little kid. So one of the things when DCYF and family court came after my family, the social worker actually lied. She lied several times in an affidavit, but what was really interesting is she committed perjury saying that the local police told her, and I quote, that they are familiar with the Noons. What she wrote in the supporting affidavit for her motion to get to conduct an assessment. And the assessment is they want to interview my child alone, which is like you don't do
no.
the DCYF.
No. That's gross.
They want to inspect our property, and they wanted us to sign some kind of release for medical records. And part of this assessment is you sign a document where basically you hold DCYF harmless. I never saw that actual document,
wow.
But you know people have told me about these documents, and somebody's supposed to be getting me a copy of those And a couple state legislatures here in New Hampshire are familiar with these documents.
Yeah.
So anyways, what happens with a social worker is she writes, we spoke with Henniker Police, and Henniker Police told us that they know the Nunes, and the Nunes are free state or anti-government, live on a compound with lookouts. And then they put, Henniker Police told us that they are extremely dangerous and we need an order. So what happens when they go to family court, I am sure that the judges in family court absolutely just rubber stamp every single thing that comes across their desk from these, you know, government social workers.
Yeah.
And so to get this assessment, they want to interview the child and stuff, and they want to, you know, do these things, and they get a kickback from the federal government. So of about $6,000, from what I understand, is what the federal government pays the state DCYF to, you know,
to do this assessment.
Okay. And then they also pay another chunk of money if they take a kid into custody as a foster kid. The federal government gives them more money. There's a documentary out there called Save the Babies, where at the very end of this documentary, I paused it and, you know, went frame by frame. Because they show, like, all of these, accounting records of, you know, and numbers of spreadsheets, basically, of how much money each state got.
Yeah.
And it's insane the amount of money the states get. I forget what it is, but it's hundreds of millions of dollars. It's a crazy amount of money. So it's billions, actually.
There's an incentive to doing it. Like,
so there's a whole other incentive on top of this. So at Granite State University, J.R. Hull, who was a good state representative here in New Hampshire, and he had a DCYF situation about 2 years ago himself, actually just before I did. And the attorney that came against him, Ross McLeod, is the same exact attorney that came against me. And I don't know if you guys remember this stuff over in Milford, New Hampshire, where they're like recounting the votes and like the Democrats were throwing a fit.
Yep.
Well, this guy, Ross McLeod, is a big part of that. So a bunch of people are telling me he's a really evil dude. He's like big time pro, you know, government. He's pro Democrat. He's, you know, he's not a good guy, from what I understand.
Snake.
So anyways,
politician.
Yeah. You know, he's a career. He's a career parasite, is what he is. You know, working in, you know, government as a lawyer. And anyways, he's part of this, you know, thing of just, you know, filing paperwork in these family courts to scare people into submission.
Yep.
And to, you know, use the threats of force and violence of the state. And a lot of these police, you know, depending on the culture, you go into a city where you have police departments that are like very, like, you know, left leaning, you know, city urban liberal types, and they're just, you know, oh yeah,
ready to take kids away.
We're going to help you out, DCYF, no matter what. But in the rural areas where, you know, you have police departments that are, you know, everybody on the police department is a family man or a mom, a family woman, which is, you know, one kind of cool thing about, you know, living in a rural area. Usually got local, you know, like the cops in Henniker are like pretty decent. I got to say, I got 100% positive reviews with them, you know, myself. And maybe other people don't, but they're all just basically, you know, moms or dads, you know, the ones that I dealt with, so they understand things. The other thing is, I was going to get into with this.
Well, that's all right. I want to point out for our listeners out there going, why would the federal government incentivize state governments to, you know, take children away? Right. And that's a great question. I don't have the answer.
Well, they want to destroy families.
It seems to be that way. I know that, at least historically speaking, it's my opinion that the federal government has incentivized the splitting of the natural family, right? The mom, the dad, and the children, right?
Black Lives Matter, that was one of their, you know, part of their manifesto or whatever.
If for no other reason than to double the tax base, right? So previously you had, you know, single income families, right? The man went out and earned, right? There was the stay home mom. There was this sort of
nuclear family,
if you will. And like you could afford to do that back in the day before I was born anyway. But government has incentivized people and businesses through taxation, through legislation, to split that. And so now we have two or even three income families, depending on who's got more than one job. And what that does is it doubles the tax base, but it also divides the family, because now you have people sending their kids to daycare as children instead of raising them themselves. And so the incentive, of course, for the government is to, well, collect more taxation, right? There is no incentive for the family to achieve, you know, that sort of nuclear family type of situation.
Not a government financial incentive.
Right.
So the government's always financing the worst stuff. If you look at food, for example, like all in order to get government-subsidized crop insurance, you have to use Monsanto growing practices.
Right.
And we all know that, you know, glyphosate, Roundup, all the chemicals, atrazine, all the Monsanto, you know, patented, certified stuff is, like, horrible.
Synthetic chemicals,
everything.
Yep.
One thing I wanted to sort of jump back into, I was starting to mention J.R. Hole here. So Green Estate University is, like, one of these, you know, liberal academic colleges here in New Hampshire.
Yep.
And they actually had a class called Maximizing Revenue for DCYF. That was a class for specifically, you know, tailored towards DCYF social workers to take. Because what people don't understand here is the reason a lot of, like, cops, for example, are, like, very aggressive about you're going to have an inspection sticker. You know, you're going to have, I have a local farmer friend here, and, you know, farm plates and agricultural plates are, like, special restriction here in New Hampshire.
Yep.
And so a sheriff pulled him over and gave him a hard time about being in the, you know, Dunkin' Donuts parking lot with his truck with an agricultural plate, and he was only 3 miles from his farm, and you're not, you know, you're only limited, like, 20 miles or whatever,
yep.
But they're very inexpensive plates, and it's agricultural. And he says to me, why would he care? Because all these guys are trained that they must maximize revenue for whatever agency they work for.
That's
because
horrible.
Their pension depends on it.
Right, of course.
And another thing, getting back into pensions here. So, like, Bonnie did a really good job, from what I understand. I haven't watched the video, in her trial, bringing up the conflict of interest between a judge and a prosecutor.
She did. I was there. Yeah, it went differently than I thought it was going to, especially when she brought up the conflict of interest. Eventually, the judge just simply ruled that, you know, the state didn't have enough evidence, or the city didn't have enough evidence.
Yep. So the conflict of interest thing that I want to put out there is judicial pension fund.
Okay.
So both the prosecutor and the judge are going to benefit from this judicial pension fund. So they have a major incentive to stack this judicial pension fund and make it fat. Now, there's a guy, his name is Jeff Younger. Where I heard of him was on Timcast IRL, but if you were to internet search Jeff Younger Timcast, you could come up with his thing and you guys should listen to it. Jeff Younger talks about how when child support is awarded to whoever, it doesn't matter, a mother or a father, but when child support is awarded, 66% of that child support award is given to the judicial pension fund, is deposited into the judicial pension fund from the federal government, from, I believe, the Social Security trust fund.
Yeah.
So same thing with, like, child endangerment charge, which is, you know, the charge that they got from my wife. There's federal money that is incentivized to bring these charges and convict people on these charges.
And they're not going to have enough money for Social Security and those type of things. Let's start doing that.
I'm surprised people are still collecting. 603-283-6160. Do you have any horror stories about Child Protection Services or DYCF if you're from the New Hampshire area? Give us a call. Let us know. We've got more on this, plus more coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. President Biden is scheduled to address the American people from the Oval Office at 8 p.m. Eastern Time tonight. He'll talk about the significance of the conflicts in Israel and Ukraine in relation to U.S. national security. The State Department's issued a warning advising Americans abroad to exercise increased caution. According to spokesman Matt Miller, the advisory issued today points to
the potential for terrorist attacks, demonstrations, or violent actions against U.S. citizens and interests.
The advisory comes in the midst of escalating tensions between Israel and the Palestinian militant group Hamas. Walmart and Aldi are reducing prices on Thanksgiving foods this year. Walmart's CEO said they're working to offset inflation by lowering prices on various food items. Aldi's also cutting prices on more than 70 holiday food products, with potential reductions of up to 50%. John Schaefer, USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening, tuning in to tonight's edition of Free Talk Live. If you are a first-time listener, you can find out all about this fantastic radio program over at freetalklive.com. You can also call in. We take calls. It's actually pretty easy to get on the air compared to most other radio shows. Our screening process is slight, and so it's pretty easy. 603-283-6160. I am your host tonight, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me,
Jay Noon
and Joa.
We've been talking about this affidavit. Notice of demand, I don't know if affidavit's the right word, notice of demand to DCYF, if you're not familiar with that acronym, it's basically Child Protection Services. It's just that New Hampshire has a different name for that particular department. Jay, you brought this in.
Kidnapper corporate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jay, you brought this in because you made a mention, you know, we proposed this, or, you know, some people got together and said, hey, this is the thing that we're going to do. Can you give us some background on, like, you know, who is we, and, you know, how did you all come together and decide to do this?
So by we, make it real simple. So essentially the guy who is sort of instructing this, help come up with the affidavit. The main guy behind this is a guy named David Jose.
Mm-hmm.
If you internet search David Jose, there's a bunch of YouTube videos about him. I was just trying to find what his actual website is called here in a Telegram chat, but you get pretty lost in these Telegram chats easy. It's hard to find stuff. But David Jose, he publishes a lot of stuff on Rumble, pretty regularly. There is some stuff on YouTube, but he doesn't put anything on YouTube, and a lot of his YouTube stuff has come down. He is from Arizona. He's been very successful in fights against DCYF. DCYF, or Child Protective Services, came against him several years ago, and he basically sat down and studied this, you know, sort of common law, the constitutional law stuff, you know, claiming that, you know, it's very first thing is, you know, one of the first things it says in this document, in this affidavit is, you know, that the people, yet, you know, I am one of the people, as seen in the New Hampshire Constitution, which is like the highest authority is one of the people. You know, the governments are servant, government employees are servants of the people. And so, yeah, that's David Jose right there. Okay. He's a Christian religious fella, so he talks a lot about, you know, God and Christ, and, you know, which is fine. I'm not super, like, into that stuff. I kind of like the idea of a great spirit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know there's something out there that's higher and greater than us. I just don't know really how to describe it or provide evidence of it.
I've come back. I used to be, a loud, if you will, atheist, right? And by loud, I mean not all loud, but, like, you know, loud about, hey, I don't really like any religion. They all claim to be, you know, superior to each other, and why, that just doesn't agree with me. But I've rolled that back. I now claim agnostic for the reasons that you just cited. I am in no way, shape, or form smart enough to say that there isn't something, you know, that I don't understand that exists in the world, right? Yeah. Totally. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I already don't understand about the world, right? There are specialists in things and people who know stuff about things that I've never heard of, so it would be ignorant for me to believe that there wouldn't be something else out there that I don't understand that, you know, maybe people are able to tap into, or maybe it's, we'll call it force of nature, serendipity, right? These are words that I use frequently to describe these things as happening. So, I've certainly rolled back to agnostic on that.
Yeah, if you want to hear, like, the best logical argument for atheism, I would suggest listening to George Carlin. But it's not about logic. It's about faith. And I kind of believe a little bit here, you know? Like, I definitely believe it. And the thing is, you know, it's out of our control one way or another. We have, like, the mechanisms to control our own destiny, but it's not set faith. I don't think, like, set fate for what we do in our life. And I think it's good guidance in some ways, but, you know, some people use it in perverted ways. So you can use it for good or evil.
So the thing with, religion getting into, like some people I pass stuff on to, they're like, oh, this guy's like a Christian, whatever. And it's like, so what? You know, the way I look at it is, you know, and actually it's a quote from a Robert Earl Keane song is, Buddha would have been a good Christian, and Christ would have been a good Buddhist.
Oh, yeah. Right? I heard that song recently. It's a great song.
Anyways, and the thing is there is so much good stuff and so many, like, you know, well-meaning, like, you know, lessons and instructions in pretty much all the religions. So I got friends that are, like, Jewish. I got friends that are Muslim. I got friends that are Christian. And I must say, I like what a lot of these guys have had to say about their religion and certain parts about their religion. But anyways, that's sort of irrelevant. The idea of this affidavit process is that when an affidavit is filed, it stands as a truth until it's rebutted.
Okay.
And then the other idea of this particular affidavit is we're writing these to state representatives because we are instructing our state representatives as the people to do something, to put a stop to, you know, these statutory created, and this is what my interpretation is, and my desire of the affidavit is to put a stop to these, you know, statutorily created entities from violating our rights, from having any power.
Sure.
And I can actually read just a little bit, sort of kind of the, you know, the meat of this.
Yeah, give us some highlights.
So take notice that the people have a common law private right to protect take notice that the people have common law private rights protected from any compelling public interest a government may claim it has to take children, especially when a government has no first-hand witness sworn affidavits of a trespass by any one of the people toward another one of the people. Furthermore, the entity known as DCYF is a creature of the legislature and operates by legislative statutes. There is no jurisdiction for statutory entities to utilize legislative enacted statutes to terminate common law rights belonging to any one of the people.
All right, so for our non-attorney listeners, like, can you put that into like some layman's speak? Like, basically, what does that mean?
So just because a whole bunch of people calling themselves a state legislature created a statute doesn't mean that it terminates the people's rights.
Nice.
So basically, and one of my things is, it doesn't say it's in this particular affidavit. I'm actually drafting up another one.
Yeah.
That's specific to my situation. But one of the things is, I'm going to ask the legislature, to the legislative officers that I send this to, is what evidence do you rely on that these revised statutes annotated, you know, the New Hampshire RSAs, apply to someone merely because they're standing on the soil we call New Hampshire?
Right. Yes.
That needs to get out there. Black's Law, 5th edition, defines common law as being distinguished from law made by legislative enactment. So a legislative creature by the name of DCYF moving on the jurisdiction of legislatively enacted statutes operating courts that are not independent of a legislature and therefore are defined, by definition, are not independent courts of record, are collaborating to usurp jurisdiction not belonging to them to terminate common law rights of parents to maintain custody of their own children. Government cannot similarly change the status of one of the people from being one of the people to a statutory status as an obligator. Non-custodial parent, terminated parent, etc., without constitutional due process by jury. In order to gain jurisdiction and attempt to bypass the people's common law private rights.
So it sounds to me like what this is attempting to do is get this organization, the state in this case, to treat people like people.
Yeah.
Right? So how did we get to a point where something like this becomes necessary? Like, it seems to me, like, common sense, right? Most people are like, oh, it seems like they should just do that anyway. How come they're not doing that anyway? Why do we need a bunch of people to get together and file some paperwork to make this happen?
How do we get to this point? So there's multiple elements to how we got to this point. So we can go back to the Reconstruction Acts of 1867. We could back up to the Executive Order Number 1, which was March 31st, 1861, where, you know, who was, I'm drawing a blank, Lincoln called the militia to stand guard at Washington, D.C. And basically the executive branch has been operating under executive order ever since. And they're still doing executive orders.
Yeah.
50,000 or something stupid, I don't know.
Yeah, spending $6 trillion as a swipe of a pen.
So then another element of this is we have, you know, the public school system that has been, you know, grooming children for, what, 12 or 15,000 hours of their life.
Yeah.
You know, and then now we have, you know, 20 years of, you know, high-speed internet service being, you know, available in every, you know, city, urban, liberal area, urban area. So, you know, a lot of the kids that, well, let's back up a little bit more. So in the 1940s and 50s, they started, you know, giving benefits to single moms.
Yep.
So if you want to subsidize single moms, you're going to create, when you subsidize single moms, you create a whole bunch of single moms. So now we have like more single, the United States has more single moms actually than any other country in the world.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like,
that sounds about right.
The amount of children.
I'd like to say I'm surprised, but I just never heard that
before. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big daddy government going to help you out without your real biological dad.
So we have multiple elements. So right now, like a lot of people, like, you know, my parents' age, you know, they sort of have a lot less confidence in general than the generation before them. As these generations are going on, you know, the confidence has been lost because, you know, the parents aren't raising the kids. Just like you said, for how long now have moms and dads been both needing to have a job in order to, you know, have a house and pay the taxes and, you know, do the things? So
efficiency is increased. So in logic, if things become more efficient because of technology and that sort, we shouldn't have to work as much, but They've created all kinds of inflation, yep. overspending, all these nonsense wars and whatever, whatnot. Yeah.
Qualified immunity is another reason that we have to, you know, go through this affidavit process. The Federal Reserve printing money out of thin air, essentially giving these governments, unlimited resources
exactly
to come against
us. It's money.
We have the Bar Association, which is basically like an employees union for all the lawyers, the judges, the prosecutors.
Legitimize them to keep them around, to keep making more money. It's just no point to what they're doing. We all know it. Everyone's awake to this. Everyone knows that this is the truth.
I wish everyone knew. I wish everyone
knew. You have to solidify like they already know, guys.
But this is really good to like lay out these elements. So like
psychologically.
So let's understand that the Bar Association through the lawyers and stuff and all these attorneys, a lot of them are representatives. A lot of them are working in executive branches of government, not as attorneys, but happen to be attorneys.
Right.
All of these Bar Association members have like an allegiance and an oath to the bar that is, you know, above any oath to the people. Even the social workers in New Hampshire who run around, you know, collecting babies and harassing people and using the local cops to intimidate people and, you know, bringing these bogus, you know, claims to these family courts.
Yep.
They don't have an oath of office.
Right. Yeah.
I wrote a public records request to the director of DCYF for an oath of office of Melissa Coombs and the oath of office of the director of DCYF, and they responded with state employees aren't required to have an oath of office. So the idea, behind this affidavit is the state legislature.
We kind of don't want them deputized. Then deputize them, right? Sorry to interrupt, but like,
well, I mean, we can dwell on that for a second. I mean, so first of all, oaths of office, right, is something that you're supposed to take personally when you take one.
Yeah.
Right. But we know, factually speaking, they appear to be meaningless, at least on a collective basis. Now, individually, somebody might take an oath of office or an oath of, like, even becoming like a policeman or something like that. They take an oath.
Yep.
So they have to internalize it and take it seriously. And if they don't, well, then what happens?
So I'll tell
you.
They're breaking their oath to their brothers.
I will tell you that in Massachusetts, we did a really deep dive on the oath of office of prosecutors, judges, state troopers, and local police officers.
Yeah.
So in the John Adams building in Massachusetts, where basically the Supreme Court is, that is where they hold all the oaths for all the judicial officers, and these lawyers are all judicial officers and judges.
Okay.
None of them have a signature on them.
So they recite the oath, but they never sign?
We don't know if they recite the oath.
Oh.
So basically, from what I understand, the way it was explained to me by a lawyer, that when he went to do his oath, that he basically went to like some big courtroom or some auditorium. It was like on some kind of, you know, graduation whatever day or something.
Okay.
I don't know how it was described, but and then they all took an oath, and he said that, you know, somebody, you know, recited the oath, and they recited it back, and this is what he said. But I said, did you ever put your signature on an oath, on some kind of
that's
oath
where,
card?
Yeah, I mean, pictures would be enough to prove it, but, like, I think a signature is important that you're putting your name on this thing, because you're wholeheartedly believing it. Go ahead. Yeah.
So the state troopers, the judges, and these were judges in land court in Massachusetts, by the way. In fact, there was a judge in Palmer District Court. None of them had subscribed oath cards. And the Constitution clearly says in New Hampshire and in Massachusetts that all government agents are to sign and subscribe, swear and subscribe and scribe an oath and put their signature on it. And they don't do that. Well, so the local police in Palmer, the ones at Palmer, Mass, and actually a couple of towns in New Hampshire I've seen where the local police actually sign an oath of office.
Oh.
The local police actually have that. Your state representatives sign an oath of office
in
New Hampshire.
Think of an oath as it's very important because, like just like how a doctor takes an oath to do no harm.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they're saying? I'm taking an oath to this office and I'm going to hold, my integrity on the line to do no harm.
The oath states, I, Joe Schmo, do hereby swear to uphold the rights of the people as described in the Constitution for the state of New Hampshire and the Constitution for the United States of America. That I'm, paraphrasing.
Sure, yeah.
So the important thing is about the oath, and if you go on my YouTube channel, Jay Noon, I believe that's what my YouTube channel is, you can find a... yeah, I'm really bad at this kind of stuff, but you can find there's a video where the social worker comes to my land, comes to my home.
Yep.
And I asked her in the video, I said, do you have an oath of office? And the reason I asked her that is because she starts telling me she has a right to access my children. And the thing is yeah. If you do an internet search, so I did an internet search, NH, New Hampshire, DCYF, settlements.
I remember this was highlighted on High Impact Flicks. I just want to drop his name because if you want to see, like, there's a big video now. You've gotten a lot of views on that, right?
That's right. High Impact Flicks. He did talk about that. I don't know how many views that particular one got. But
there's some attention to it, so hopefully that helped. I don't know if that you got some contact.
Not really. that guy did put that he wanted to interview me, but nothing ever happened with that. I don't know, but anyways, so if you just internet search your local state and and Child Protection Service settlements. Well, in New Hampshire, I just kept on finding like these horrible articles. In fact, it made me sick to my stomach just imagining, like children, like 3-, 4-, 5-year-old kids being, molested by, foster parents that are DCYF employees that are put in. And then I find all this stuff. Like,
there's a bunch of cover up of that stuff.
And it's gone on for
30 years or something.
And
I heard a crazy story over Rhode Island. It's insane.
There is so much crazy stuff going on with DCYF. Did you actually hear Eamon Bundy got a judgment against him for $52 million from St. Luke's Hospital because he put out a call to action for people to basically, like, look into and, like, the St. Luke's Hospital was involved in child trafficking where they took a baby. The baby's name is Baby Cyrus. There's a whole documentary about Baby Cyrus.
Yeah.
Where they take this baby for medical neglect, and as soon as they take the baby, the state seizes the baby from the rightful family, give it to a foster family. They adopt it out.
Right.
This adoption racket is huge. And one of the things with my particular case is all the people that I had talked to that had dealt with DCYF and had DCYF issues, as soon as they looked at my kids, they're like, wow, your kids are beautiful, and they're smart, and they're unvaccinated, and, like, they're all there. My kids are, like, a light years, solid, ahead of, most of their peers. Now, actually, all the kids that they hang out with are homeschooled and unvaccinated, so those kids are all on the same level, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
But anyways, they're like, oh, yeah, they want your kids.
Yeah.
They want to take that baby. They're worth a lot of money on the above board adoption thing.
Well, and there's an underground circuit, too. There are people, kids, disappear every year from foster systems, child protection services, even newborns who vanish.
Montgomery Harmony is one. She was taken from the mom. The mom was having some type of substance abuse issue. Didn't seem like she was really a bad mother from what I could tell. And sort of given to the father. And the father was like, from what I understand, I could be a little wrong, and it's been a while since I got into it, but basically the mom's like, where's my baby? Where's my baby? You took my kid. And they're like, yeah, nothing from DCYF. She's going crazy about it. And then it turns out the baby's been missing for 2 years. Nobody had contact with it. The father, got some, dead known prostitute in his apartment in Manchester. The guy's like a drug dealer. His mugshot looks like, somebody who was on a cast of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Typical whatever.
Yeah.
Junkie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the kid's just missing. And that's gonna be that's a massive liability to the people.
Oh yeah.
Another reason that an affidavit like this is of very much of interest should be of interest to anyone in New Hampshire who pays taxes. So if you buy gasoline, or you went to a restaurant, you've paid some taxes, or you own some land, you pay some taxes. You register a car, you pay some taxes. The second, I believe it's Article 2 of the New Hampshire Constitution talks about how taxpayers, which is not a term I like to identify but they have a right to sue the state.
Yeah.
So by the qualified immunity, by the fact that these social workers are literally trained to maximize revenue for DCYF, that these people are extremely inefficient, they cost a lot of money, and they are making your taxes go up. They are clearly just wasting time, wasting money, especially with my case, and I caught them. Most people don't catch them in these kind of lies, don't point out these kind of lies because they're just scared, and they usually hire a lawyer, and a lawyer tells them just to cooperate and just to go along. To get along, plea bargain, because the purpose of a lawyer is keep everybody in the box.
Right, yeah.
So more money, too. It's just another money pit.
I wanted to say, it looks like your YouTube channel is at JNoon4501. Okay. And that's J-A-Y-N-O-O-N-E, for those of you who don't know how to spell Mr. Noon's name, at JNoon4501. If folks in New Hampshire want to support you in this affidavit and the people who've, you know, assisted you with putting this together, how can they do that?
So my website is not set up for this yet. I was actually just earlier today talking with a guy to help me out on, you know, who helps me out with this. I'm going to make a link on my website specifically to this affidavit. Okay. Hopefully that'll happen within the next 24 hours. I honestly don't even know how to do that part.
You're human?
Yep.
What?
Yep. to help out me, if you wanted to email me, jay@jnoon.com, that's okay. jay@jaynoone.com, and you want to, I'll send you a direct link to this particular affidavit. But if you're on New Hampshire and you are disgusted with, you know, what's going on with DCYF and the fact, in this particular case, DCYF and Concord Police have colluded against my wife, because what had happened is the social workers, you know, lied in two affidavits that about what the police had said, and police had stated the chief of police actually went into court, mm-hmm. Did an expedited motion to intervene, and got a motion to vacate. They actually put a contempt order on us, which is just some bogus. It's all bogus in family court, because you know you can't hold someone in contempt unless they've been ordered to do something, and the assessment doesn't order, you know, the mom or dad in these cases do something, or as a police officer.
No.
Oh, here's a whole other element. I said to the local police, I go, hey, you guys want to commit this, complete this assessment? Go for it. And DCYF told the local police they weren't qualified to do the assessment, because DCYF does not get the federal government money unless they do it. Even though the assessment order says a police officer, worker shall, you know, inspect premises, interview child, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a whole racketeering scam. And we need to pressure the people in legislature via these affidavits. We, as the people, need to order our servants to do their job. And my intention is to shut down DCYF so it can't violate anyone else's rights, because the taxpayers of New Hampshire have paid out over $300 million, quite literally, in the past decade in settlements by DCYF. And you got that whole Sununu Center where they were raping kids for years.
Right.
And you know, nobody's stayed after school. Nobody's went for detention. And this is also why we have to get rid of qualified immunity. We need to get rid of the federal government, kick it out of our life, because the federal government is pouring tons of money into this to make this stuff happen.
Great job, Jay. I appreciate what you do. Good luck with all of this.
Thank you.
We've got more Free Talk Live coming up. We want to talk about, we could talk about our congressman unethical. We could also talk about some other stuff. We'll also take your calls and thoughts at 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live. Hour number two is next.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.